Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're here.
Everyone, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is a perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll be able to get your show pushed on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all other listening platforms.
And the best part is, you can get all of this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box for the episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man Andreas Hale. We are recording immediately after the Canelo fight, so it's going to be fun getting to really dive into that one. If you guys haven't seen it, I don't know where you've been. The knockout punch, what ended up being a knockout punch, the uppercut, so beautiful. It's all over the internet. Check it out if you guys haven't already, but we'll get to all of that in a second. Dre, before Canelo took the ring, before I'd say even the main card started on DAZN, there was another battle. Someone that you completely wrote off. And that is in Versus. We had SWV versus Xscape. And on this very show, you told me Xscape was going to walk off on him. SWV had nothing for them. I had to dig in my phone. I had to list songs. You were so confident. What happened, Dre? Because that's not how it played out.
Bad song selection. That's it. That's the only reason that it was even close. Because you know where Xscape actually got SWV when they baited their ass into live singing. That was a bad move by SWV. They shouldn't live sing anything unless it's Coco.
Coco held her own, though. And they were like, Coco, can you hit this note? She was like, got this. It just went through because they knew the rest of them could not hit any note.
So Taj and Lili, don't even give them a mic. But Xscape, the only reason why this was close is bad song selection. They left so much on the table, and like it was kind of an underwhelming versus. It started off real slow. Man, I don't even want to talk about the verses until we talk about this DJ. Holy
DJ A1.
Who is Candy's friend, clearly. And, you know, Candy's probably, you know, getting half of his check. God, man. Mother's Day weekend, you have Xscape versus SWV. Spinderella's on the other side DJing. One, why is there a dude spinning? It should have just been Spinderella.
You just need one DJ. She could have played both.
Yeah. Two, why do you have this dude? He didn't blend a single song. He was just playing records. And then they didn't even go together. This man had a sequence that went, I'm every woman to 112's Cupid. And I was so mad that this happened. Because there was no blend. It just, it was so jarring. And then at some point he played like the butt. And then he played some cut. And I was like, yo, it's Mother's Day. What are you doing?
This ain't the audience for that, my boy. Not the audience for that.
Nah, that's his fault. He should have known better. Like, you know, Spinderella's playing Ladies Night. Spinderella's playing like women's anthems.
Yep.
This is a women's celebration. Why are you even here? And why are you playing? Like, he played 2 Chainz. I was like, what are you doing? But again, he played songs that he didn't blend. Like, that everything was off. I didn't understand what he was doing. It was like he was battling. There were better fights with his vibes than there were in the undercards of both the UFC and the boxing shows. This sucked. He was easily terrible.
Easily. I don't know. I mean, his song choice was bad, right?
And as was his fashion. That jacket? Oh, my God, man. Why is this man disrespecting my eyes with this?
He laid that out yesterday. Yeah. He was like, yo, I'm about to get this fit off on the verses.
My man, poor choice. God. Yo, Kel, my man said, I'm not going to have just bad song choices. I'm going to have bad fashion. He just did it all. He was like,
committed to the gimmick. But my biggest pet peeve was, why are you talking over all the tracks?
He's like, this is a mixtape.
Make sure you drop hearts in the chat. Drop hearts in the chat. Oh, who went to HBCU? Put it in the chat. And it was funny. Shout out to AJ Springer. He was like, Dre, are you dropping more house in the chat right now? Like, what is this guy doing? He was doing DJ party tricks.
It was so bad. Especially when you have people like Scratch, who had been killing it the last few verses. You put this clown out there. And I mean, it just almost ruined the entire vibe of the entire verses. Like, when Scratch was DJing, I was like, you could have just left Scratch out there. Why didn't you get D-Nice? If you're going to get a dude, why this dude? Give me a woman DJ, man.
I feel like they've had D-Nice once already, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, get somebody. If you're going to get a dude on Mother's Day weekend to DJ an all-female R&B battle, get a top-tier male DJ, not Candy's Friend.
Yeah. I mean, Spinderella was perfect. That was a perfect choice, regardless of whatever her set was. Even though,
she didn't blend no damn records either.
No, but she had like some good song choices. Yeah. She had like LL back to back. She had some good songs. She was like within the times, you know, late 80s, early 90s, women's anthems. Like she understood what her job was. I don't think A1 did.
Mans didn't know the assignment. Just like Escape. So we'll talk about this battle. Escape, listen, man. Escape, they sounded phenomenal. Whenever they would sing, I was like, wow, they still sound really good. When it came down to song choices, and especially with the deep, the fact that they pull out a couple cheat codes, like Bills, 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 Candy pulls that out. But it felt like they just left so much on the table.
Oh, she had the Brat perform live.
Yeah.
They did the remix. That was dope. Hold on.
You have to remind me. Did they do Just Kicking It?
No.
How do you not do Just Kicking It?
I don't think so.
Unless this happened, somebody's going to correct us. Unless this happened at the end, because at the very end, the Canelo fight was getting ready to start. So I was like, all right, let me switch this up. But they were doing Understand It. And I was like, that's okay. But where's Just Kicking It? That's your song. Where's the rain? What are you doing? I did not understand Escape's song choices at any point during this battle. Like, even if it was a celebration more than a battle, they left their hits on the table. Strange song choices.
I mean, SWV got to all of their stuff and snuck a couple in.
I mean, the catalog isn't even as deep. Like, they had some joints, like, I was like, all right.
The Coco solo song, what was that, Sunshine, was pretty dope.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Coco Sunshine is pretty dope. I'm just saying, like, the catalog runs relatively thin, and it was just like, at some point, I was just like, yo, Escape, what are you doing? Play some like, it felt like it when as soon as Candy was like, oh, I'm gonna do Bills, 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 I was like, oh, they're in trouble, because all she could do now is just, she could play No Scrubs, didn't do that.
She
did she? Oh, yeah, yep, she did.
It was
she did Bills, 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 and No Scrubs.
It was like 18, yeah. was no scrub.
Right. She did that. And then like SWV did Men in Black. And I was like, wait a second. What is going on here? You can raw off with this battle if you want to. And
yeah, that was probably the only misstep. Outside of that, I think they kind of walked off with the battle. Like going back and forth, they did what they had to do. And the whole time it felt like Escape was chasing them. Then there's, you know, the looming aspect of Tiny's legal battles, which everyone constantly want to bring up. So, I mean, it was rough, man. It was rough. I'm looking at the list, Escape to What's Up, fourth round.
Did Escape do Feel So Good?
I'm looking right now. I don't see Feel So Good in the first half at all.
I don't. Did they do Who Can I Run To? I'm trying to remember.
I'm sure they did. I mean, they had to have done Who Can I Run To.
Look it up. I don't, because they did My Little Secret, didn't they?
Who Can I Run To was 19.
Okay.
Understanding was 20 to close it out.
But they didn't do Just Kicking It.
No.
What? What? How? That's your biggest song.
Yeah, I'm going through. They did not do it at all. She played the E40, You and That. Oh. Like,
there is no battle where you do not play your biggest song. I don't care how much you may not like that song anymore. It's your biggest song. That's the song that you are known for. And did they do My Little Secret? I asked you this. I can't remember what you said.
No, I mean, I thought that was 19.
No, I thought you said Who Can I Run To was 19.
Oh, you might be right. Let me check again.
They closed out with Who Can I Run To and Understand, because they did yep. Who Can I
yeah,
Run
yeah,
To.
Yeah, no, so My Little Secret. Nope, not on here.
There's no way that you do this without Just Kicking It. That is a trump card. That is the big joker. Song choices, man.
That hurts. They got caught up. They got lost in the sauce.
They got lost in candy sauce, man. I'm blaming Candy.
It was all about Candy.
Yeah, I have to blame Candy. I just, oh, man.
Damn, they left a lot on the table. Yeah, and when they did sing, like, you were right. Like, it was great. Why didn't they sing for, like, the first 13 songs? They had the mics. They just didn't use them.
I mean, they could have even played Bow Wow's Bounce With Me. And people would have been like, oh, yeah, I forgot about this. Like, they could have done that, but they didn't.
That was dope, yeah.
They didn't. They left a lot. That was leaving a lot of money on the table. That was like they were folding with a handful of cards.
Yeah, so, they didn't play that.
Like, SWV plays anything. SWV play the Right Here remix, which you have to play. Like, if SWV didn't play Right Here, people were like, what is wrong with you? And that's how I'm looking at Escape. You didn't play Just Kicking It? What is wrong with you? How do you not play this song?
Yeah, they're bugging.
Even if it's not, again, if it's not a battle, that's what the people want to hear. Like, your catalog's not that deep.
No, they played Just Kicking It. Just found it.
Where?
Round 8. They pump faked into like a commercial break. And they're like, no, we're not taking a commercial break yet. And then came back and did Just Kicking It. Shouted out Jermaine Dupri. They're like, yo, Jermaine, what up? Yeah. They got like a full breakdown. Shout out to Billboard. And it was like, Jermaine looked past what we looked like back then and gave us a deal and then went into Just Kicking It.
I do remember Jermaine going up there.
Yeah. And then SWV returned with You're the One. So,
which is a jam.
Yeah. It was dope, but they took the L.
Yeah. Either way.
Oh my God. Billboard, who did rankings for all of this, gave SWV that round. You're the One over Just Kicking.
Yeah, no, you can't do that.
it's blasphemous.
Yeah, you know, I mean, ultimately these things, these verses are they're tough because, you know, they become like celebrations more than actual battles. I just felt like with Escape, I felt like, you guys, the sequencing, this was a bad playlist, right? Like, it's just a bad order. So like SWV started off shaky. And then they were just like, all right, let's just play the hits. And they just played the hits, and I was like, cool. And then they would, like, put a song in there, and I was like, I don't think you should play that. But nevertheless, I mean, I'm sure people were happy. Fans of both groups were happy to see them. It's good to see Escape sounding good. Everybody except for Tiny, clearly. nobody wanted to see Tiny. But
No. But they did a good job kind of hiding Tiny. She wasn't like a huge part.
You can't hide Tiny. Have you seen Droopy Dog? She looks like Droopy Dog.
Don't do that to Tiny.
Why not? She did it to herself. Her face has had work. She looks like Droopy Dog.
She kind of always looked like that, but she's but it's definitely worse now. Because yeah, she took it to the next level. The fake eye color throws me off.
Yeah, the fake eye color, the lips are all puffed up, and like her face is like sagging now. But it's sagging in a way that the surgery is like trying to hold certain pieces of it up. She looks like Droopy Dog.
Listen, don't have T.I. come for us on our podcast. In our podcast. I mean, he sees everything. He be on it for his wife.
He's going to be on it. They're going to be sharing a cell if they keep playing.
Allegedly.
I know allegedly, but man, they had so many accusers. Like, you can't just ignore this.
A ton. I don't, bro, it doesn't look good.
No, man.
The optics are poor.
Very.
So it's as poor as their song choice.
Damn,
and the DJ like A1 song selection.
Escape didn't do keep on keeping on with MC Light. Why didn't he do that?
Oh, because they had to get Candy's writing spots.
But I'm saying they chose. No, what was it? What song did you say they played? It was a Candy. It was whack.
Oh no, I didn't say the whack one. They played the Bay Area joint, like E40. Yes. That was unnecessary.
One. Yeah, there was another one that was. It's just this poor song choice. Nevertheless, they sounded good. Coco is sister with voice because they are not sisters with voices anymore. It's Coco. Coco and them. No disrespect to Lili and Taj, because they, you know, they were a group and they harmonized here and there. But that group is always about Coco. There were people that were like, oh, SWU's blow them out the water singing. I was like, no, Coco was amazing.
That's but a lot of girl groups. That's a lot of groups, period. Where someone just stands out above them. It's not just them.
No, if you did a Destiny Child versus anybody battle, it's just really before Michelle. It's just Beyonce and Kelly. The other, you know. No, it didn't matter who else was there.
Nah. No. And they gave Michelle like some joints. She never really fit for me. Like I never understood that.
You didn't either. It was a very Beyonce dominant group, but Kelly was like in Boys to Men, you had Wanye and Sean. And yeah, Nate as well. But he was like Kelly's like the Sean Stockman. Like she could hold the note. She could do like Kelly could sing. But it was a very Beyonce dominant group. But the other two, you didn't need them. Boys to Men was like a four-part harmony. So you needed everybody in that group. But like SWV was very Coco dominant because I don't remember Taj and Lili singing lead. And if they did, I didn't like it. So, you know, I don't know. Escape, they all sang. All of them sang lead at a certain point. Sounded really good. Just bad song choices.
No,
bad song selection, but the order of the songs they picked.
I told you it wasn't going to go how you thought it was going to go. SWV had enough. Enough to hang regardless. And that's with Candy trying to cheat and bring in the writing joints. At first, I was like, yo, if she brings the one she writes, it's going to be a wrap. But even when she brought them up, the energy wasn't there behind it.
That's what I'm saying. It's not the catalog that killed him. It's the playlist that killed him. The playlist killed him. And it's SWV played the right songs at the right time in the right order where it felt like, all right, cool. Even if they didn't sound all that great together, it was just the right songs at the right time. And when Escape would come back with a song, it was just like, it was like DJ A1. You play songs like, why are you playing this right now? That's how Escape's playlist sounded to me. So, yeah, it wasn't the walk-off that I thought it was going to be. But I'm going to blame Candy Burris.
Candy gets all the blame there. Man, that was our night before the fights. Let's hit our first break, because when we come back, tons to talk about with this Canelo card. So you guys don't go anywhere. We'll be right back talking boxing, finishing up with the little UFC after that.
Hey everyone, it's Lindsay Rhodes and I've got a new podcast, the NFL Roadshow. Fun and kind of nerdy conversation about the NFL every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I've got some amazing guests that are joining me. I'll be breaking the huddle with the top stories, previewing games. We'll get you set for the weekend fantasy with our Fantasy Friday episodes, and we'll answer some of your questions as well. So subscribe to the NFL Roadshow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
right, now we are back. Time to talk boxing. As good or bad as the versus was at points, the night still belonged to boxing. It belonged to Canelo Alvarez. But it wasn't just him. We had the beginning of the card, the beginning of the main card. They had good prospects early on in the card. That was dope. The Davis brothers, it was good to see them fight Mark the Boxer, young kid who's really dope. He fought on the undercard. But when we got to the main card, I was like, man, on paper, this looks really good. You touched on it earlier. This in the UFC card early on, a little hard to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't good. We had we kicked it off with a heavyweight fight on the card. And I was like, cool. You really can't go wrong kicking it off with the heavyweights on the Canelo card, giving people some shine. Oh, how I was wrong. Frank Sanchez is the dude I lost his name on the last episode, but he's the young Cuban heavyweight fighter that trains with Team Canelo. And when we were talking about up and coming heavyweights, so it's like perfect card to put him on to showcase. He didn't look great out the gate. And then of course his opponent then takes a punch, maybe a phantom punch to the back of the head, and sells this shit like he got shot. He sold it like Kurt Hennig.
Oh boy.
On the ground, writhing in pain. They're trying to help him up, pull his arms up. He won't get up. Honestly, I was expecting a kip up at some point and to just continue the fight like nothing happened. It was mind-boggling how this fight ended. I was like, damn, such a waste for Frank Sanchez, who looks 40, but is listed at 24 years old. He's the next one. He's the next Luis Ortiz. This man ain't 24.
Bro, somebody lying. Ain't no way. Ain't no way. Come on, guys.
Grown ass man. So that fight ends in disappointing fashion. And then the co-main, also a very good fight. The ref stops it early.
And yeah, Elwin Soto against Takayama. Takayama is a Japanese boxing legend for a lot of people, but he has only fought twice in the last 5 years, and he took some time to try to go back to the amateurs to do some Olympic boxing and returned. He's old, long in the tooth, took a lot of punishment early. And I remember in my head, I was like, oh, this fight's going to end early. Elwin Soto's going to kill him. But Takayama started fighting back. He was like, yo, if I'm going out, I'm going out on my shield. And was throwing punches. Now, granted, they could have stopped this fight a lot earlier because it felt like he was going to take a lot of punishment.
Yep. But
then, inexplicably, in the middle of an exchange that Takayama is actually looking decent because he started climbing back into the fight, referee just stops the fight.
Steps like, right in. Takayama shadow boxing. Afterwards, while they're reading the decision, he's like, yo, I can go another 12.
I just, like, man, you, again, Takayama is a boxing legend in Japan. You let that man fight until you see him in trouble. At no point in that round was he in trouble. This was absurd. That was a bad stoppage. Real bad. This undercard sucked.
It wasn't good. And it was a lot of weird circumstances that made it very poor, but that then beats the brakes. So I was like, man, I'm glad I had the versus, right? I'm glad like we had something to take our mind off of the undercard. The UFC wasn't much better at all. So I was like, cool. I turned it up. We get these crazy elaborate entrances, Canelo's especially, like the full mariachi band, like a mariachi legend singing them to the ring. This shit was dope. Everyone's out there. Canelo comes up, Dolce and Gabbana out. One thing that stood out to me immediately, 70,000 fans watching a fight is nuts.
Yeah, it looks scary.
It's crazier now. That was really 70,000 people, yeah, shoulder to shoulder.
Maskless.
Mask. Chill. I'm looking at Tyson Fury in there like, yo, you about to fuck up the bag, aren't you?
God damn, and the crazy thing is, like, there's still people that are like, yo, COVID's over, right? Like, that's how these people act. And, you know, not to talk to UFC too prematurely, but they just lost a fight because of COVID. They literally lost poor Angie Hill, who always has a fight fall out at any given time, lost the Amanda Ribas fight because Ribas got popped for COVID the day of the goddamn fight. COVID's not gone, people. Like, if you're going to be 70,000 chest to chest, in an arena that's closed where COVID can just circulate through the air system, wear a mask. I know they're not vaccinated. I know 70,000 people in that building aren't vaccinated.
No, it's Texas, sir.
and you know what the crazy thing is, you know, not to go too deep into COVID all over again, because I know some of y'all are like, fuck COVID. But the strange thing about this is there are so many people who have had COVID that we find out later now. Canelo had COVID.
Yep.
Didn't tell anybody. Kamaru Usman had COVID. Didn't tell anybody. If they're not telling people, what do you think those people in that arena are doing?
I don't know. Canelo talking about that and talking about like Chepo almost died from COVID.
It's like, yo. And I'll be like, yo, I'm not fighting with all these people not wearing masks. What are you, nuts?
Yeah, something got to give. At least a mask. Like, something. No, everyone's just willy-nilly. We went from zero to 100 quick.
Yeah, man, that's scary.
So, I guess COVID had a one-year expiration date. March came up again. April came up again. They're like, yeah, we're tired of this shit.
It's over. I mean, that's exactly what happened. People got tired of COVID. People was like, listen, COVID, you can't dominate my life. I was like, wait a second, hold on, man.
Like, we gave you a year. That's all you get.
Yeah. Now we're gonna enjoy our lives. Look at us. And I'm like, yo, look at y'all. Y'all crazy. And then people that are, the UFC cats come into my mentions, crazy. You can live scared if you want to. That's
what it sounded like. I like that accent. Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
You know, rootin' tootin', you can look scared if you want to. I'm going to show up to this fight. Yeehaw. Like, that's how I feel like they're in my mentions. And I'm like, yo, chill. Like, I keep saying it. I don't like to get sick.
Yeah. Right?
Like, forget it. If there's an opportunity for me to get sick, I'll pass. If you're telling me that there's a highly contagious thing out there and I can get sick, yeah, I'm good. I'm okay. I don't need 70,000 people. Nah, I'm okay.
Nah, I ain't ready for that yet.
No,
I'm good.
73,000 people. They broke the record for indoor attendance for a boxing match in the United States in the middle of the tail end of a pandemic.
It stood for 40 years. You think you could have waited just a little while? There was no rush, but nope. I mean, the fans got their money's worth at least.
Yeah.
If this is like the first event in a year and people needed an itch to scratch, like this is the one to do it at. So congrats, I guess, to them, to DAZN, Matchroom, all of them. And then that brings us to the fight itself. So the main event, we have Canelo, Billy Joe there in the ring. Starts off kind of how we anticipated, right? It's Billy Joe Saunders' jab versus Canelo's body work, which you called out, early, even before you did your By the Numbers article.
Yep.
Body work, body work, body work. So it started off like that. The fight changed around round four. No longer was Canelo just cornering Billy Joe Saunders, getting easy body shots. Billy Joe started moving around more, kept his hands down, in part to make it easier to block the body shots, but also looked a little more swaggy with it, a little more comfortable. And he was throwing the jab still and landing the jab still, but he was putting combinations together. He was smartly letting his hands go. So Canelo took a couple of rounds to adjust to that. I don't agree with Chris Mannix on the broadcast, who had Billy Joe Saunders winning five rounds in a row.
Mannix was bugging.
Yeah,
I was bugging.
I was like, Mannix, I don't know what you watch. Like, I can give him back-to-back, like fourth and fifth, but Canelo probably gets the sixth, seventh. Like, Billy Joe maybe gets the seventh. Canelo gets the eighth. Like, I had it 3-3 after six. And through eight, I could see it 4-4. But I probably had it 5-3 Canelo. And
yeah, it's 6-2.
Okay, yeah, like that's, listen, legit. The judges, by the way, agreed with you and I on the cards when the fight, you know, ended. But we're going through and everyone's like, Billy Joe Saunders looks really good. And we're getting to the point, much like we were in the prime of Floyd Mayweather, like the Maidana fight. Where if you look better than we thought you were going to look, or if you just look competent against Canelo, and it was against Mayweather, people will give you rounds in their head. Or say, Maidana beat Floyd, or, oh, this person was beating Floyd. No. Like, that fight wasn't close, if you're objective. But now we're judging Canelo's greatness by his past greatness. So he's running over all these other champions. So if Billy Joe Saunders looks remotely competent, yo, that's his round. He actually landed some punches.
Which is stupid.
But the output still wasn't high, which you said was his big problem.
Yes.
And so going through the fight, output's still not high. Okay, but he's hanging around. We hit the eighth round. And at that point, Canelo's like, got it. Figured it out. In which him, shout out to him anyway, no, so that's what they said immediately, like off rip, all week. No, eighth, ninth round, we're going to take him out of there. And they never really give predictions. They're confident. Eighth round comes, Canelo figures it out. If I do this, he does that. If I step in twice with my lead leg and try to pin his inside, his outside foot inside of mine, he's going to duck down when I punch. He doesn't want me to go with the overhand right. He's just going to bend over at the waist and try to get away from it. Got it? He did that twice. Billy Joe did it. After that, for the last 2 minutes of the eighth round, serving Billy Joe uppercuts every time he bent down at the waist. One of those uppercuts with like a minute left lands right on Billy Joe Saunders' eye, and that's all she wrote. Billy Joe toughs it out. Doesn't go to the ground, nothing like that. But Canelo, at that point, he lands the uppercut, steps back, picks up both arms, signals to the crowd, let's go. Get louder. No fear that Billy Joe was going to throw anything back at him. Boom, pieces up Billy Joe twice, two piece. Waves his arm again, one arm. Crowd, get louder. The crowd's going nuts. Mexican fans are going nuts. Supremely confident. They go back to the corners. Canelo tells Eddie Reynoso, he ain't coming back out. I broke his face. He felt it when it happened. It started showboating, taunting, went back to the corner. It was like, that's it. Lo and behold, fight's called off. Billy Joe Saunders, after the fight, ends up being transported to the hospital, possible broken orbital. Canelo knew it. TKO, round eight. Good job changing your prediction this week.
Yeah, I told you. Look, man. I said it. I was like, you're pissing off the wrong person right now. Like, he was poking the bear from the outside of the cage, but didn't realize the cage door was open and the bear could get him if he wanted to. And that's exactly what happened. I called it this week. When this fight was first announced, I was like, ah, Canelo by decision. He'll just outbox him. He's better than him. He's just a better fighter. Saunders doesn't punch enough. He gets tired late. Like, I'm not concerned with it. I think Canelo will win, but it'll be a good fight early. I said that always from the beginning. It'll be a good fight early. As soon as Saunders started taunting Canelo and the ring size thing and talking shit, I was like, oh, no. Canelo likes this. But like I said in the last show, Canelo negotiated the release of his kidnapped brother before a fight. There is nothing you can say to that man that he will be like, oh, man, he's getting in my head. Can you imagine – Kel, can you imagine your wife being kidnapped the week you got a fight and you stay in the fight and negotiate the release of your wife and then go get the knockout?
Nah. It's the focus, the ability to compartmentalize. Like, it's incredible how disciplined he is.
It's frightening. But, and what I said was, as soon as he pissed him off, I said, Canelo's just going to pressure him. He's going to pressure him from the beginning because there's nothing that Billy Joe Saunders can do to keep Canelo off him. Nothing. Nothing. He can't land anything. And when I did the bottom numbers, I pointed out, Saunders only has 4 knockouts in his last 15 fights against bums. There's no way he can keep Canelo off him. What did Canelo do? He went to the body, pressured him. Pressure bust pipes. At a certain point, I don't know what Mannix was watching. Sergio Mora, too. Both of them are my boys. I'm cool with both these guys. They're getting a text message from me. I don't know what you guys were watching.
They got caught up in the hysteria and in the wanting a competitive fight.
Yeah, because I'm watching this fight and I'm like, nah. Like, I gave the first round to Canelo because I was like, yo, Canelo's landing the more significant punches. These punches are landing with a thud. They're not landing with like pip pip. That's how Billy Joe's shots were landing. And I'm not even saying that Billy Joe fought a bad fight. He fought his fight. Canelo's just a better fighter.
Yeah.
He's the best pound-for-pound boxer on the planet, hands down. There is nothing that you can do to that man unless you can make him respect your power. That's it. And if Golovkin couldn't do it, Canelo walked Golovkin down in the rematch. He met him in the middle of the ring, which was insane for a lot, because nobody did that to Triple G. Nobody. Canelo did it. Even if I still had him losing that fight, that's what he did. So this Billy Joe Saunders, no, he made it a point that he was going to knock that man out.
Yep.
I told y'all, he's turning a corner in terms of his overall global superstar. He understands, like, it's not just about fighting anymore. It's not just about winning fights. It's doing interviews in English. It's being entertaining. If anybody watched his interviews this week with, I forgot his name, Graham something, where he takes him through the mansion and he's showing him his dancing Tesla, I was like, Canelo's figured this shit out.
Oh, that was very Floyd Mayweather-like, right? Like, yeah. Floyd, when he took Stephen A. around. And he was around Vegas and everything. That might have been for the Canelo fight. Yeah, or like, it was for the Pacquiao fight, maybe. Yeah, it was very Floyd-like.
Canelo was giving a glimpse into who he is. Showed him about golfing, go-karts. He had pictures of his family. Like, Canelo was very guarded and stoic. Now Canelo's opening up. But also what comes with, he has an opponent that tossed him. And Canelo's like, this is the perfect recipe. I'm going to knock this motherfucker out. Because there's nothing people like more than a knockout. And he did just that. I said it was going to be a late round stoppage. I didn't know he's going to break his orbital bone and make him, you know, quit on the stool, retire on the stool, call it what you want. He broke his face. That's what he
broke his face.
How do you beat this man? I don't see anybody beating Canelo right now. I don't see any, like, people's like, Charlo, get the fuck out of here. Charlo get abused by Canelo.
I mean, Caleb Plant defensively is good. He doesn't sit down on his punches enough. You have to have power and say the hell with it and walk him down like Triple G. The problem is you also got to have a chin with that power.
Right, and Triple G had, like, there were so many people that it was like, Triple G was like, done that. I'm like, listen, man, Triple G's got arguably the best chin in boxing. Chin, man, takes anything. Doesn't matter. He enjoys getting punched in the face. It just charges him up. And Canelo was hitting him with some shots. Triple G was like, cool, which is absurd. What I didn't know when we had that fight happen is that Canelo could take a shot. Nothing hurts Canelo anymore. Like, people act like Billy Joe Saunders is not a big puncher. No. Daniel Jacobs is a pretty big puncher. Sergey Kovalev, big puncher. Right? Triple G, obviously, big puncher. Callum Smith is a pretty big puncher. None of them could phase Canelo. And if you can't phase that man and keep him from walking you down with his excellent A1 body shots, that, like, this man throws hooks to the body like nobody's business. Maybe between what Triple G used to do to the body and Cotto's left hook to the body, there have been very few that work the body as well as Canelo does. And he knew it. He had to slow Saunders down. If I hit him to the body, them hands are going to come down. He can't move as much. And in that eighth round, he hit him with a few shots to the body, but he caught him. He kept targeting that uppercut, and he landed it. And Billy Joe Saunders nodded like, yep, you got me, motherfucker. That hurt.
Yep. And he had caught him a couple times beforehand, but at least, which, you know, it's a horrible thing to say, but it would catch him on the chin. And Saunders can, like, tuck his chin when he was going down so he wouldn't get, like, knocked out, but he'd feel it. The last one landing on the eye, there's no way to protect your eye.
Nah, he was done. Man's was done for.
I'm watching it right now, and I put up on ESPN Ringside earlier in the week a carousel highlighting Canelo's counter uppercut, because he's thrown it. He's landed it in his last three fights effortlessly. Hit Billy Joe Saunders, hit Daniel Jacobs with that shit, Yildirim, all that. Like, everyone falls for the same counter uppercut. You throw and you overextend on the right hook. He steps back. Let you swing, uppercut comes right underneath it. It's a wrap. So constantly, past three or four fights, he's added this tool. And I was like, yo, Billy Joe Saunders can't be dumb enough to be hit by this same uppercut. Lo and behold, he was dumb enough.
It's not even being dumb enough. The problem is that Canelo sets it up so well. Because what Canelo did in this fight, it was almost similar in a way that he fought Kovalev, but he was a little busier in this fight. Mm. Is that he came out from the opening bell sitting on his punches. Because he was like, the only reason that Canelo would do that is because he's not worried about what's coming back. He can sit on his punches. Yeah, go ahead, try to counter me if you want. It's not going to do anything. So he sat on his punches from the opening bell. And at that point, if you look early in the fight, there was a digging jab that Canelo would throw to the body. And Saunders would like double over. It wasn't hurting him, but it stabs you. And after, at a certain point, your hands start coming down.
Yeah.
In order to avoid that, you have to hunch over to get it, because you have to cover up. You can't just put your hands down. You have to make the target smaller. And when you do that, what do you leave open? Your face for the uppercut. There's really nothing you can do about it. And Billy Joe Saunders is really good defensively. But you can't absorb that type of punishment for 12 rounds. You just can't. That man was sitting on his punches disrespectfully because Billy Joe Saunders talked that shit. It would have been a nice little boxing match until Billy Joe Saunders started talking. Chepo, Eddie Reynoso was like, we're going to knock this motherfucker out. Canelo's like, yep. That's what we're going to do. We're going to finish this motherfucker off. Canelo wins. He's one step away from being the first undisputed super middleweight champion of the world. He calls out Caleb Plant immediately. Says, that's what I want next. The question is there any question that Canelo's the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world?
No question at all. I mean, he was my pound-for-pound already. One step away from being undisputed in that division? Yeah, you can't question it. Four division champion.
I want to make this point, and then I'm going to let you continue. Not only is he chasing to be undisputed, he's going to do it in less than a year. He won the WBC title in December. The WBC and WBA in December, WBO in May, and he's targeting Caleb Plant for September.
Already has a title defense of one of them as well.
Yes. This man will be the undisputed super middleweight champion if Caleb Plant takes the fight in September, which he'd be a fool not to unless Heyman's like, don't fuck no. I don't see – there's no other options for him except for unless it's been
– And Heyman's not going to get that much money in a Caleb Plant fight ever again. So no. I don't know why Heyman would say no. Plant would have to fight 40 times to even equal that payout.
So and I'm going to let you continue. So your man is planning to be the undisputed super middleweight champion in 9 months. That's nuts.
Wild. And looking at it, listen, Caleb Plant's a very good fighter. I wouldn't take him to beat Canelo. We ran down the list of some of the people that are kind of in the realm of threatening him. At this point, the only one with the tool set that I can see even giving Canelo a challenge is Benavidez.
Yeah.
Because the output is there to do what Triple G did. But is his chin Triple G's?
And look, David Benavidez has a hell of a chin, but you know where David Benavidez is kind of suspect? Defensive.
The body, though.
Yes, the body's a little soft. But defensively in general, Benavidez's offense is his defense.
Yeah.
Like Caleb Plant is good. His footwork is really good. His upper body movement's very solid. David Benavidez, he doesn't really move that much. His head kind of moves, stays on the line a little bit. There's really nowhere for Benavidez to go because he's so big. And he throws so many punches. He hits hard. Could give Canelo problems. It's the best shot. It's the only person I can see at 68 giving Canelo real problems. Like you said, I like Caleb Plant too. I like him as a person. I think he's a good dude. Yep. He's a good fighter.
Great story.
Fantastic story. I think he's a great fighter. He's a good dude. He's shown that he can be entertaining. But this is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world. The only person in my mind that could give Canelo problems, like, honestly, I need to see if Spence could get up to 68, which Spence is a year older than Canelo.
Yeah.
You got to try to do this. He's a big 47, though. 47, 54 is easy. 60, 68, I don't know. That's a lot of weight classes. I don't even know if Better BF could give him a problem. Better BF can punch, but shit, Canelo likes this.
Yeah, it's tough. Better BF again, when was it? Not this last fight, the fight before. He got hit a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These guys, they get hit a lot.
Canelo has the best defense of anyone at 68 and 75.
Dude, I outlined it. Nobody's hit landed more than 20% of their punches on Canelo since Golovkin. Before that, Lara landed 28%. It's so low. It's so low. And it's like In this fight, Saunders landed close to 20%. I think he landed 20%, mostly jabs. But that's a lot of that stuff is just Canelo walking him down. It wasn't like, and then you look at power punches, Canelo owned that department. What do you do to beat this man?
Step on his toe. You got to make it real ugly. Something like low blow, headbutts. I don't know. Then you're just going to piss him off and he just might knock you out faster.
So here's an interesting question, because I want to see how this plays out. So Canelo is currently the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. We agree on that. There's no question about that. If Canelo becomes undisputed champion at 68, and let's just say maybe he hangs around. Maybe he sees, you know, maybe Charlo comes up and fights him. Maybe he fights Benavidez. Let's say Charlo, Benavidez. Let's just say Errol Spence comes up to fight him. Errol Spence goes through two divisions, grabs some titles, gets up to 68, fights Canelo, and he loses over the next 5 to 6 years.
Okay.
Canelo stays undefeated. Will people say he's better than Floyd?
Yeah, like career-wise?
Yeah. Even though he lost to Floyd. Do you think people...
Is he better than Floyd? No. I mean, that's my hell of a run. The Spence fight, that's a great notch on the resume, right? But if we're keeping it real, like, in the grand history of the sport, Billy Joe Saunders' name isn't going to ring bells. Like, here, what? Callum Smith isn't going to ring bells. Triple G fights will look really good, and those are contested. So, in the grand scheme of his career, Mayweather beat like 15, 16 world champions in a row. He has the De La Hoyas. He has the Mosley, the Pacquiao, the Canelo. No, like, no one's catching that resume. No one. It's what he did was incredible. I just posted on this day for Corrales. Shit. I don't know why I'm drawing the blank. But it was the Corrales on this day of amazing.
Castillo.
Like 2 days ago. Floyd has wins over both. Like, it's hard to find someone of that era who was a dynamo that Floyd didn't beat. No, he's not. He's never catching Floyd. No, I don't care. There's not enough names for him to catch Floyd.
I'm going to play devil's advocate right here, just for the fun of it, because I agree. The biggest argument against Floyd Mayweather has been when he has fought these guys. Even though people don't give him enough credit for the Shane Mosley fight, because Shane had just beat Margarito, they look at Floyd's resume and they say he fought Pacquiao late. Not really Floyd's fault. We've said this before. But Pacquiao wasn't Pacquiao. Yep. He wasn't that indestructible force. Robert Guerrero doesn't ring any bells. Victor Ortiz? Nope. Even Marcos Maidana. You're like, he lost to Amir Khan. So when you start running that Andre Berto, So you look at Canelo's resume and the true Triple G fights, yes, they are contested. But if Canelo were to become undisputed at 68 and to win all these fights, I can see people saying, well, Canelo's fighting everybody in their prime. I could, like, if he fought Charles, like, there'll be a list of people, if Canelo were to do this, there's a list of people that Floyd didn't fight. And as he got later in his career, in all fairness, Floyd is more about money than he is legacy. And I don't have a problem with it. He's the best businessman in boxing. But there's a reason why he's 50-0 and not the greatest fighter of all time. Because there's certain people he just didn't fight. He never fought Miguel. Well, he fought Miguel Cotto. He didn't fight Pacquiao in his prime. Miguel Cotto wasn't the same Miguel Cotto, is what people will say. He didn't fight any of the young fighters outside of Canelo that people were like, oh, Keith Thurman or Errol. Like, he didn't fight them. No matter the reason, I agree. Like, I'm not mad at anything that Floyd did. But if Canelo were to win out and become undisputed and beat Errol Spence, beat another pound-for-pound fighter, there's going to be people that are going to say Canelo's better than Floyd.
again, I think people want that to be the case. Like, they want to say that. And yet, objectively, you can say Floyd didn't fight people, but I just don't think that's true. He didn't fight maybe some of the young names, and I know you listed it out, but a lot of those people were coming up while he was already at his peak. Like, it's hard to tell someone to reach back down and fight someone that you think is going to be great in 10 years. He did that with Canelo. Was he supposed to do that with Spence and Bud and Thurman? Like, you can't reach down and fight all of the young guys. So that's tough. Throughout his career, he fought everyone. He just didn't fight them when people wanted him to fight them.
Well, he didn't, because he didn't fight Margarito when Margarito was a Top Rank. And that's when he bought himself out of his contract.
Yes.
He didn't fight Shane.
Was he going to do that? Like, no, he fought Shane.
No. I'm saying when they were both smaller, he didn't fight Shane.
Yeah, he didn't fight people when you wanted him to fight people. Or, I mean, the vast majority of people wanted.
Let's be honest, in their prime.
Yeah. He picked people at the correct time, but he got him.
He did. And I mean, it looks good on paper, but I mean, I'm just saying, I agree. I could just see this argument happening, because here's my argument when people say that. Like, y'all act like Floyd's a spring chicken. People never give Floyd credit. He aged
with these people.
Yeah. People never give Floyd credit for aging and being just as sharp. Nobody ever does that. Everybody goes, well, they were wise. So, well, what about Floyd? He's just as older as them.
Yep.
That's not his fault. That's always going to be my argument. And Floyd has always been incredible defensively. And he made Canelo look like a complete fool. Now, granted, Canelo's so much better now. But he fought him at the right time. And it wasn't – and I don't do that argument where people say, well, Canelo was, like, young. Yo, Canelo was – Floyd wasn't supposed to fight Canelo. Like, that fight, people were like, Canelo – people said Floyd wasn't going to fight Canelo. And here's the fun part about it. When Floyd signed that deal and he fought Robert Guerrero first, I remember this. Showtime was like, hey, man, you got to fight somebody with a name. We got to get our money back. Like, all right, cool. Canelo. And people are like, what? He had to fight somebody. Victor Ortiz wasn't going to do it. Come on, man. Victor Ortiz, do you remember this? Like,
I remember the talks for that. Yeah.
It was like when he fought Victor Ortiz, and the only reason that Victor Ortiz got the fight is because he beat Andre Berto, because Berto was supposed to get that fight. And people thought Berto was going to walk over Ortiz, and Ortiz won. But Showtime looked and was like, we ain't making no money. We signed Floyd for all this money, and he's doing numbers. But Manny Pacquiao's doing numbers, too. So he fought Canelo. And Canelo ended up busting records with Canelo. And then people went back and was like, Canelo wasn't ready. Yes, he was. That's a dream. Like, that's like Teofimo, what he did to Vasily Lomachenko.
Same age.
Exactly. People don't give Floyd credit for that.
Yep. They always Floyd, try same to age as Loma. You know, Teo the same age as Canelo, which makes what Teofimo did insane.
It's insane. But I can see where people are looking at Canelo and they're just like, again, this man is about to become undisputed champion at 68. Like, there is no real business when it comes to Canelo. There is no, outside of the Triple G fight, which I still to this day blame Golden Boy for how they handled that fight. Because if you look at how Golden Boy handled everything with Canelo, you can see that Canelo's so much happier without them. There is nobody that Canelo doesn't want to fight. Oscar didn't want Canelo to fight certain fights at a certain time.
Yeah. But Oscar was more calculated.
Yeah. Canelo's not – there is no, like, Canelo's like, oh, I'll fight him later. Canelo will fight them now. Like, this week he said, yeah, I'll fight Triple G. Sure. Just put it in my contract.
As long as it's 168. Let's get it.
Yeah. And that's fair. And people are like, you should fight him at 160. Yo, I told y'all, Canelo ain't making 160.
No, you know how comfortable he looked in the ring today? At weigh-ins, he's shredded. It just looks like he's no longer draining himself. He's not killing himself to make weight. This is his final form. If this is Dragon Ball Z,
yeah, this is it. I wrote a column. We are reaching his final form, where this dude is about to make a ton of money and be the best fighter in the world.
Say, he already has a ton of money. He's about to make a shitload more, though. So I agree.
It's crazy. So here's my next question, and this one is pretty easy. Where he's at right now, assuming he unifies, he becomes undisputed 68. Is he now the greatest Mexican fighter of all time? Well, will he be?
Yes, if he unifies, if he's undisputed, yes, he will. And I told you, there's an argument to be made already. He is the greatest, but I have an affinity for Julio Cesar Chavez.
And it, you know,
but we know the end of that story. That's the only thing that messes it up.
No. Right? You know what really messes it up? Like, if you really look at who, like, look, I love Chavez as I got older. I hated him when I was younger. Yeah. Loved him as I got older. But the caveat with Chavez's record is he lost a sweepy. I don't care what anybody says. No big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal. He still won that fight. Okay. But you go and look up and down his resume, yo, he fought a lot of cab drivers. Like, yo, Chavez is crazy. Fair. He fought a lot of cab drivers.
But if you're fighting people every 2 months, you're in the sport of boxing, like Canelo, like his first, 26 fights or like in Mexico, like you stupid young, a lot of cab drivers. I get it. Tyson, people use the same argument. But I will say this. You never know what's going to happen in boxing. You never know when you throw on the gloves. Everyone can punch to a degree. You're always one punch away from losing. Even if you're fighting, quote unquote, cab drivers every 2 months, it's dangerous to fight anyone every 2 months. That's a lot of chances you are taking. So I give them credit for that.
Like, they're still cab drivers, though.
You fight every other week. Once you kind of rise from the land of cab drivers, even if they're mediocre fighters or decent fighters, and then you have to fight good fighters, you're fighting pretty frequent. Like, to beat those guys, it still takes one hell of a fight.
So I get it. I mean, Carlos Mazon as well. I mean, there have been incredible Mexican fighters. And, Marquez's resume is stupid.
Yeah, the losses are just ugly losses.
Yeah, I mean, he lost to Zahir Rahim, and I'll never forget that fight. And Zahir Rahim went out there and just stunk it up after that. But Marquez knocked out Pacquiao, dog, and gave him hell. Every fight he gave Pacquiao hell. I told you, I never had Pacquiao beating him.
Didn't give Floyd hell.
No. Well, but again, go back to that fight. Yo.
I don't think I've watched that full fight again since.
Go back to that fight and look how small Marquez is. Gotta remember, he fought him at 47. Marquez is like a 30-pounder.
Yeah, but the Marquez that fought Pacquiao the last time at 47 was like super shredded.
I mean, yeah, back knee and everything. But I'm just saying, when he fought Floyd, if you look at that, like Floyd, and Canelo understood this as well. Once Floyd became the A-side, after he beat Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd dictated the terms on everything. Yep. When he fought Canelo, he drained him. Not that it would have really mattered, but the fact that he had that advantage, he used it. And he drained Canelo. And, you know, if Canelo had any chance, it was taken away.
Yep.
That's just being the A-side. That's
Which is
doing.
Wild, though, because he gave Billy Joe Saunders, Canelo did, the 22-foot ring.
And that's the difference between Canelo and Floyd.
Mayweather would have never wilted. Mayweather didn't wilt on gloves. Like, yo, people are like, yo, you approved these gloves. No, I don't want those gloves. Motherfuckers had to change gloves.
He
like,
night of the fight.
Yeah.
He would say, go on and go home. Because we ain't got to do this. It'll hurt you more than me. But yep. Canelo's like, I got to fight for my people. Canelo's, he's wired different. Yeah. And I respect it. But still I respect
his ass in a big ring.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, he gave that man that advantage and then he beat the brakes off of him. Because he knew he could. Yeah. Floyd could do the same. Floyd could do the same to a lot of people. But Floyd's a businessman. And I have no problem with how Floyd handled his career. I don't. People
Neither do.
Is he better than Sugar Ray Robinson? No.
No.
Is he better than Muhammad Ali? No. He didn't. He never really had the foil that really brought it. Like, if he fought three times against Pacquiao in his prime, then we can have a conversation.
Yep.
But he didn't. And whatever. It is what it is.
I just found, like, off topic, before we hit the break, I found, like, 6 Sugar Ray Robinson fights I had never seen in the ESPN archives this week.
Bro.
And I was watching them. It made me sad because, again, I see if someone's like, yo, I've watched all these fights. Like, that's a lie, right? It's like the hardest. It's the hardest film to get your hands on, probably in boxing, of any fighter. But the fights I had seen before, 7, 8 fights, when you can get like the full footage, like those were still fights from his prime, right? The 6 fights I just watched, 2 were from early in his career. 2 is from where I consider his prime. And then two was after I think his business manager like duped him and he lost all his money.
Yes.
Like millions, and had to come back and fight. And I was like, fuck. And he's still a great fighter, but he was, it's just, man, it's tough to watch those fights. Cause he was a brawler. He couldn't move his feet anymore.
Yeah.
And he was taking punishment. I was like, fuck, man. It gave me an appreciation of him as a fighter, because he was still good enough when he didn't have those tools. Layoff was like something stupid, like 4 years, 5 years outside of boxing. Then he returned. But it gave me another appreciation for Ali. So now I'm looking at it like, damn, is Ali my number one instead of Sugar Ray? Because Ali hit his setback, was out of the ring, came back. And I guess he wasn't as fast as when he left before either.
No, he wasn't.
So he had to do like the rope and dope shit. He had to do like a bunch of different stuff because his legs weren't like they were when he was younger or, you know, before he went to prison. But he was still so masterful after that. Ray Robinson never really got back to, I'd say Ali got back to what, like 85, 90%. Ray Robinson got back to like 60%.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to dive into history and like actually watch that stuff unfold. So yeah, my top all-time list, Ali's at two. He might start climbing. Might be 1A, 1B, but I still love Sugar Ray Robinson. Watching him fight is incredible.
Motherfucker fought everybody.
Everyone. Like, literally. Several times. And if you beat him, we're running it back.
He's like, cool, let's do it again. And he was so gifted. Like, between watching him, and if you find any old video of Henry Armstrong, you're like, man.
Yeah, Henry Armstrong is so damn good.
It's like, god damn. And the thing about Ali is, like, he what made him so great is he was a heavyweight, but he moved like a lightweight, and he had this incredible jab. And I would say he never went to the body. He just beat the shit out of people.
Yeah, it's crazy. It especially was when he slowed down. And he slowed down, you would think he developed that. Ray Robinson had a mean left hook to the body.
He was disrespectful with the body punches.
Oh my god. It was like watching a bigger Lomachenko.
It was just wild disrespectful with the body shots. But you know, I think Floyd calls himself the best ever. And I don't mind him saying that because legacy
is not of his generation.
Yeah. Legacy is just, that's not that important to him. Being rich and having all his faculties is important to him. And I'm not mad at him for doing that. I just listen to people be like, no, he's chasing money now. And he made a funny point. I don't know if anybody see the Gilly the Kid show, where Floyd was like, do y'all be criticizing Bill Gates when he keeps making money? This is what I do. Yeah. And it's easy work. Why wouldn't I? Like, and you're right. We don't criticize white people when they continue to make billions of dollars.
No.
If Floyd's going to make a ton of money and doesn't have to get hurt doing so, why are we mad at him? Why does he got to be?
Rolling Stones tour until they're 80.
Yeah, like nobody's ever said Mick Jagger's hurting for cash.
No, stop playing music.
Yeah, nobody says that. But every time Floyd fights, they go, he must need money. No, he wants money.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Everyone wants it. If they're just giving it to you, you'd be an idiot not to take it.
Yeah, like, listen, man, Floyd's fighting Logan Paul.
Yeah.
And he's gonna get more money than any boxer. Maybe outside of Canelo and Anthony Joshua. He probably made more than them too.
Yeah.
With however his deal's structured.
Oh yeah, easy.
What he's supposed to say no? Are you stupid? Like, listen, Kel, I'm not, you know, I'm trying to think. What am I the best at? What can I do? And then they can bring somebody that sucks at it and then tell me, well, you can do that against him. And maybe.
Honestly, like, say we do this podcast for another 10 years. Say we go on like a PTI run or something, right? And like we go, we're on TV, we get like a PTI run, we're doing the podcast, blah, blah, blah. Cool, we do it for 10 years. We decide to hang it up. So it's the last episode of the Corner Podcast after 16 years. Thank you, everyone. We appreciate you guys. And then you're like, okay, cool. I'm just going to write. I'm never going to podcast again. Fuck it. I retired from podcasting. You know, I'm just going to be a writer like I was earlier. I'm not going to be on TV or anything. Cool. You're going about your life. And then someone's like, you know what, Dre? We just want you to do one more podcast. Even, you know what? It's not with Kel because you retired. I understand that. We're not getting that back together. But you just got to do a podcast. Oh my God, I almost let a name slip out my mouth. You got to do a podcast with this random Joe Blow.
Shout out to the group chat. Oh, you got to do a podcast this random Joe Blow.
You know what you did, right? $1 million.
You know
how many people, because I got a lot of questions from the last podcast after opening up, saying people ask me questions. So a lot of people send me questions. Everybody's going to ask me who we're talking about now.
Oh, it brings a tear in my eye, though. Oh.
I'm never going to tell y'all. We're never going to tell y'all.
That stays in the Rat Pack group chat. But they're like, yo, we'll give you $1 million. Like, 5 years after we decide never to podcast again, to do a podcast with this person. Are you going to be like, no?
Yeah, like, I'm going to do it.
Dre, that podcast isn't as good as The Corner. Motherfucker, they give me $1 million.
I'm going to do it. Like, I'm
damn well better do it.
Yeah, unless it's going to come. And it can't, man. There's no way.
They could give you a podcast with a TikToker who doesn't know anything about boxing. For $1 million, you better do that damn podcast.
It's an hour out of my time. Like, Floyd didn't train for Connor. No. I've said this before. He didn't train. They'd be like, media day, and Floyd would be like, all right, let me go and show these people what I can do. And then he'd just like, he'd eat a hamburger or something. Like, he didn't train for Connor. He stayed in shape, but he didn't train for Connor. You think he's training for Logan Paul?
No. I mean, God just stays in shape anyway.
That, like, he does what he normally does, but he's not – He spars because that's what he does. He's doing what he normally does. It's funny because Canelo said the same thing. Why wouldn't I fight every 2 months? I'm training anyway. Why wouldn't I just beat these people up? Yeah. Floyd does the same thing. He goes to the gym, he puts on the headgear, beats some people up, and goes home. And somebody said, hey, you could beat this guy up who really sucks for $100, $200 million. He's supposed to say, no, I'm keeping my integrity. Get the fuck out of here.
My bank account has no integrity. So that's where we end up. All right, let's hit our last break so we can come back, wrap it up with UFC. Ooh, man, I'm still recovering from that joke. That shit hurt my heart. You guys don't go anywhere. We'll be.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Right back after this.
We'll get right back to the show in a second, but first, the wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be able to be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads to totals to teams, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, divisions, and championship futures all day, every day.
Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
What up, everybody? We are back. Fuck it, I can't stop laughing. we are back, though, from the break. Yo, when I tell you, it was so funny during this past break. Oh, man, you guys will never hear it, but it is hilarious. Got to collect myself. So UFC had a card going on same time as Canelo fight, everything else from the Apex. Lost a lot of fights on this card. They talked about a lot of them last week, but it continued this week. Angie Hill, her fight was taken off of the card due to her opponent catching the Rona. So she was out. Someone passed out on the scales damn near. So another fight left. The card, what was left of it, wasn't very entertaining at all.
No.
But it was 6 fights on the main card, 9 in total. Quick night. And the main card really wants to touch on that really matter. Neil Magny, decision win over Jeff Neal.
Continues to do it.
I keep picking against his ass. He keeps making me wrong.
Just keep picking against him. You got to keep the gimmick up now. I'm going to keep it up too. I'm just never going to pick him.
Just going to stick
until he wins the title. Yeah, I'm just never going to pick him.
Now, I think Kamaya said he wanted to fight him next. Magny was like, let's go. So
sure, why not? I'm gonna pick against him next.
So. Yeah, he's losing out. He ain't gonna make me look like an idiot that time. Cowboy Cerrone gets knocked out first round by late a replacement, Alex Morano. I mean, it might be it for the old cowboy.
He immediately said that it's not over and that when it is, he will tell everybody before he makes his walk. But listen, guys.
It might be that next fight.
If you look at Cowboy in this fight and his inability to take a punch, Cowboy isn't – he's gone six in a row without a win. Makes that Connor win look real funny in the light, don't it?
It really does. I mean, at least Connor did it with some speed.
I'm just saying, like, he got him out of there in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as you touch Cowboy's chin, it's over now.
He's done, man. The man is not the same.
No.
There is such a thing as being battle-worn. Like, he's worn out. It's over. He's going to get hurt. That's the next step. The next step is him getting hurt. And it's on him, man. He likes to fight, so I'm not going to say I don't want to see him get hurt. I don't want to see him get hurt, but he wants to see himself get hurt. I can't stop him.
It's Dana's buddy. Dana got to save him from himself. Sooner or later.
Yeah.
Or he needs an extended layoff. Like, yo, you got to go away for a year and a half. Like, so, like the chin never recovers, but just in case it does, you got to go away for a year and a half.
Yeah, something.
It's rough. Marina Rodriguez in the main event beats Michelle Waterson. But good fight. I think Marina won the first two rounds convincingly. The third was a good trade-off. And then Michelle Waterson gets takedowns. Towards the end of the fight to make it close, but not enough to win that late. But it shows that Marina needs a ground game.
Yeah, she's a great pressure fighter. She showed good striking, but it's not going to win this division. Not this competitive-ass division, so.
Yeah, that's tough. But it's a good win. Better main event than it had any business being, to be honest. So they really helped that card.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yep, whatever. Delivered at the end of it. And then now we have a pay-per-view coming up.
Next week. Before we even talk about that, did you watch Rumble?
Oh, yes. Rumble Johnson. I need his workout plan. That man was like 320 last year. Just gigantic. And we saw him separating people like when there was like a fake fight or something.
Yeah.
And he was
like a bouncer.
Playing the bodyguard role. And then now it looks like he's damn near middleweight. But crazy. He is shredded. At light heavy, 205, comes back in, and Rumble does Rumble things. Gets the knockout, and I was like, well, I'm not surprised.
But boy, he was in trouble in that fight.
Yeah, I mean, it took a little while to get his wits about him.
He was in trouble. I was like, yo, this is what I was thinking. As soon as Rumble got rocked, he escaped a rear naked choke, which that's when I thought the fight was going to be over. And I was like, oh, no, Bellator strikes again. Right? They put somebody else in there that they think is going to do something, they lose. But fortunately, Rumble wins. He's fighting Nadim yet.
The champion.
That's a good fight.
That's tough out the gun.
Yeah, but for the hot second, I was like, oh, no, Bellator, not again. But, you know, they survived.
Yeah.
That would have been catastrophic. They all are.
But that leads itself for a big fight here in the upcoming months. MVP kicked someone's nose in.
Oh my God.
That shit was ridiculous too on that Bellator card. Like, yeah. Smashed his nose straight flat against his face. He gave the man, you know, Tiny Harris nose.
He told that man, wow.
Yeah. Zing, bringing it full circle, baby.
He told the man he didn't need that, man. You don't need that nose. You don't need that.
Easy one. Yeah. MVP is very good against mediocre fighters.
Yes.
Or just average fighters. Like, the guy's wildly entertaining.
Yeah, like, he fights you give him the right opponent, he's going to look fantastic. But, yeah. You know.
Just let him live there. I don't need him with the title.
No.
He's like the Bray Wyatt of MMA.
Or he could figure it out and go on a crazy run. But, you know, we'll see.
We shall see. UFC 262, though, like we're getting into, comes up this weekend. I'm trying to make sure nothing on the prelims that like really excite me. Jacare is on the prelim.
Damn, all right. Still with the UFC.
This is one of those like, yo, you lose, you get cut fights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because he makes a lot. And I thought he's washed.
Yeah. Lose and go to PFL. It's not just Bellator anymore.
Yep.
So yeah, who is he fighting? I don't even remember.
He is fighting Andre Muniz.
Oh, it's not a bad fight, actually.
No, it's pretty good. I mean, Andre has 6-inch reach advantage. Like, it's going to be tough for Jacare if this don't go to the ground. It's a 3-round fight. So, yeah, 2 takedowns, he could win that fight. The main card, though, kicks off with, and this is another one that kind of it's lackluster for a pay-per-view, but maybe one of those pay-per-views that deliver in finishes. But we have Shane Burgos versus Edson Barboza to kick it off. I really like that fight.
That is a really good fight.
It's violence. It's definitely going to be violence.
Gosh, I'm just going to pick Barboza just because I feel like there's got to be something left.
Yeah, Barboza has won one fight since December 2018.
That's not very good.
No, but he got stopped by Kevin Lee in 2018, lost to Paul Felder, stopped by Justin Gaethje, lost to Dan Ige. So he's had a tough road. So give me Shane Burgos in that fight. Even though I hope Barboza wins. I mean, I like Barboza. He's always too kick dependent. Live by the kick, die by the kick. It's very tough to win fights like that nowadays. And then second fight, Kaitlyn Chookhagian versus Vivienne Arroyo. I don't know much about Arroyo. So give me Chookhagian just because I've seen her fight a lot. Oh, Arroyo just beat Modafferi.
Chookhagian's like, she's, how do I say this?
I'm not sold on her, but I just didn't know the other chick.
She's number 2 in the division. Problem is, the division's kind of weak. So her number 2 doesn't look all that great.
No.
And it's very right for somebody else to take that spot. So I'm going to pick Arroyo to take her spot. How about that?
Okay. But I mean, the last time I saw Kaitlyn, she did beat Cynthia Calvillo.
Yeah, so. I mean, as long as you stop Calvillo from taking you down, you'll win the fight. That's all that is.
Also very true. And then fight at night for me, Jack Hermanson versus Edmund Shahbazyan. Yeah. Edmund's bouncing back. He's going to be angry.
He needs it bad.
I guess when you're that young, you always need it bad, right? But losing to Derek Brunson, getting knocked out by Derek Brunson was a shocker. Stop feeding prospects to Derek Brunson.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Edmund needs this fight bad because he's young and he has an ego and he still looks like a star. And taking another L right now, everybody can't beat Aaron Pico, who seems like he's finally coming back.
I was about to say, Aaron Pico was similar.
Yeah, and Hermanson is a guy who's, I mean, he's tough, man. He lost to Vittori, but Vittori's getting a title shot. But he wrapped up Gaslam real quick.
Yep. But I also seen him get wrecked by Jared Cannonier.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm going to pick Shahbazyan as long as Edmund can keep his back off the mat. If he gets taken down, he's going to be in trouble.
Oh, definitely. You're getting subbed if that's how it goes. So, yeah, keep it standing. I like Edmund in that fight. I like Edmund to win by, like, crazy KO. So, not that Hermanson gets stopped a lot. I just think Edmund's, he needs that. He needs to put on a show and have that highlight on his reel. And then the new co-main, Tony Ferguson versus Beneil Dariush. I think Ferguson is washed. Give me Dariush. And that's hard to say, but I mean, Dariush is on a 5.
No, he hasn't lost since
5 fight. Yeah, 5 fight winning streak. His last loss was a knockout to Alexander Hernandez.
I'm going to pick Tony Ferguson. Here's why. I've always been critical of Tony Ferguson's rise, right? I kept saying, like, who did he beat? Who did he beat?
Yep.
But this is somebody that he should beat. Beneil Dariush is a guy he should beat. Losing to Charles Oliveira, no big shocker. Title contender. Losing to Justin Gaethje, hey, wrong fight. I said it from the beginning, wrong fight for Tony Ferguson. That was just the wrong opponent. Dariush is the right opponent. Dariush doesn't hit as hard. He's a good wrestler, but Ferguson is just freaky enough and awkward enough on the ground and in the stand-up, they should be able to win this fight. If he loses this fight, then I'll call him washed. I don't think he's washed yet. I think he's taking a lot of damage from the Gaethje fight. Oliveira just looked fantastic. K- can't do nothing about that. But I think he wins this fight. I think Ferguson gets back on the winning road, and you know, he may never be the title contender that he once was, but I think he gets a win here against Darius.
Okay. You mentioned main event, Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler for the title. It's very odd that those are the two guys you end up having your title fight, but whatever. So those two going for the belt that Khabib has now vacated. So, shit, Oliveira's looks so good. Give me Charles Oliveira to win. That's tough because Michael Chandler is a beast. But I don't know. Oliveira's been here longer in this level of competition. Like, Chandler came in, wrecked Dan Hooker, and it was like, oh, okay, give him the title shot. Like, I always expect these guys who come from other promotions to trip up early. So there's still that chance. Give me Oliveira.
So I'm in the middle tonight, as soon as this podcast is done, I'm doing my by the numbers on this fight. And I found a few very interesting things. Charles Oliveira has the most finishes in UFC history. 16.
Jesus.
Charles Oliveira, all time.
Him and Cowboy. Not just lightweight?
Nope, all time.
Oh, DuBronx is no joke.
Charles Oliveira is sixth with 18 wins. Sixth all time. He has 27 UFC fights. 27 UFC fights. Michael Chandler has 27 career fights.
Damn.
Charles Oliveira is 31, I think. Charles Oliveira needed 27 fights to get his first title shot. This is going to be my by the numbers piece. It took him 27 fights to get one title shot. Michael Chandler has one UFC fight. He's getting a title shot.
It's cold-blooded.
It's so disrespectful.
Yeah, Oliveira's only 31. Jeez, yeah. 27 UFC fights by the age of 31. It's insane.
27 UFC fights, 18 wins, 16 finishes, 2.8 submissions per fight. Also, which is a crazy stat, this is a crazy one, is that aside from Oliveira having the record for finishes, he has the most submission victories all time at 14.
Oh, I thought that was the case. Yeah, I was about to say, yes, they have the submissions.
But here's the crazy thing. He has 14, and this is, am I by the numbers? You're going to hear all this as soon as this comes out. He's only attempted 35 submissions. Only attempted, which means that if he attempts a submission, about 40% sure he's going to get in and finish you.
Yeah, damn near 50. 15% chance you're going night-night.
That's insane. And Oliveira has stopped everybody except for Tony Ferguson since losing to, God damn it, I can't remember.
But he's on a run, like a deep run.
He's
on a run. Felder.
Now, on the flip side of this.
Yeah, Felder was the one who beat him by knockout in 2017.
On the flip side of this, I mentioned Chandler's 22-5. He's only been gone to decision 5 times, right?
Damn.
He has 10 knockouts to 7 submissions. But 13 of his finishes have come in the first round. That's stupid. Chandler finishes people quick.
So this ain't going the distance, is what you're telling me.
This is the way that I'm looking at this fight. It's not going the distance. Between Oliveira's propensity to submit you and Chandler's propensity to knock you out in the first round, it's a 5-round fight. I can't see this thing going the distance. The question is, because Chandler's lost to Will Brooks twice,
yep.
Brett Primus when he got injured, Pitbull when he annihilated him, and I can't remember who else he lost to. 2-4. That's 4.
No, that's 4. I don't know who his last one is.
It was somewhere early in his Bellator career. But that's it. That's who he's lost to. But he lost to Will Brooks twice. Will Brooks is a wrestler who stopped him the second time. I think that Charles Oliveira, if he can stay out of the way of Chandler's power for the first round, he'll submit him. And Chandler doesn't really get submitted. But Chandler gets finished.
Because his wrestling skills are pretty damn good.
Yeah. I just want, like, 5 rounds is a long time to deal with somebody who Oliveira doesn't finish people in the first round. Kind of wears you down.
Oh, so looking at this now, we have Chandler's three losses all came back to back to back in Bellator. Mm-hmm. Those early losses, all three straight title fights. Lost to Eddie Alvarez.
That's it, Eddie Alvarez.
Split decision. And then Alvarez got hurt. He went for the interim belt against Will Brooks, lost a split decision, and then came back and got knocked out by Will Brooks.
And knocked out by Will Brooks is not in the UFC anymore.
No.
Now.
Late knockout.
Yeah. Chandler has been on an incredible tear lately, right? Knocked out Benson Henderson. Knocked out Dan Hooker. It's just crazy because neither of these guys rank one or two in this division. But I'm picking Oliveira here because I think he'll be smart enough to survive the first round. And I don't think Chandler is going to finish him late in the fight. Could be totally wrong. This is a toss-up fight. But I think Oliveira's improved so much. And to be only 31 is crazy.
Yeah, that's insane.
I think it might be Oliveira's time. And they're giving Chandler this fight because, like Eddie Alvarez, who did eventually win the title, they're like, hey, we just got to put you in the title scene now. We don't want to waste any time.
Yep.
So he might go out there and lose. It's okay. He could win, but I'm picking Charles Oliveira.
Yeah. What's the over-under? Or do we not see the package starring Michael Chandler and his black son?
Lord Jesus. I didn't
You know, it's covered.
I don't know what the odds are. I don't want to see that thing, man. I really don't. I hope they don't play that shit.
Oh, you know it. They're going to play that every fight. So that is our UFC predictions for this weekend. Later on in the week, we'll be coming back to you guys talking about pro wrestling. Plenty of talk about there, especially with AEW and Blood and Guts happening last weekend. Some stuff going down on the WWE main roster as well. We're preparing for WWE WrestleMania Backlash. So we'll have that for you in our predictions for that card. So we appreciate you guys sticking around today. It's been a long night covering fights, so we appreciate you guys listening. We wanted to knock this out early so everyone can enjoy Mother's Day tomorrow. Shout out to all the mothers listening, if you are. Shout out to everyone that has someone in their life, you know, obviously your mother, your grandmother, a wife, anyone. Shout out to all the mothers out there, all greatly appreciated. Make sure you guys follow us on social media at @CornerPodcast_ on Twitter, at Corner Club for Life on Instagram. Catch me at Kel Dansby, him at Andres Hill on all platforms. We appreciate all of you. Enjoy this weekend. We'll be back later in the week. For right now, though, we're out.
Peace.